Welcome to this edition of The Conversation here on The Decoden, brought to you by Shock, Safe, and Lock. I'm Jonathan Starr. Today, I am joined by the chairwoman, Lydia Gessley, of the Election Integrity Act. Now, this is something that they've been working on for just over a month now, that is going to really change, if it goes through all the legal process, would change how the elections happen in North Dakota. So I'm really excited to be able to have this conversation with Lydia to kind of break down what would actually happen if this got in place. So first off, welcome to this podcast, Lydia.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so why don't you just start off kind of explaining where the act came from, why you guys went ahead and put together this proposed amendment, how it came about, and let's start there.
Well, it came about with the fact that people were seeing issues with our elections that we were having. With these machines, we were having problems with them not working because of electrical outages, or they weren't processing the ballots properly. You know, they were having problems feeding them in and stuff like that. And there's no way to audit these elections that are going through these machines. And people want to know that their vote has actually been counted. And if you can't audit the election, there's no way to know that.
Very good. So these electrical outages and things like that happening in, where were you getting reports of them happening at?
Bismarck and Fargo mostly.
Interesting.
We had an outage here in Wells County, I believe at Fessenden at the festival hall, where is one of our petition places, our poll places. So, I mean, that's what our machines are susceptible to. If we lose power, we lose the machines, and we lose the ability for the people to actually run the ballots through.
Right.
And that's why we want to go back. We've got paper ballots now. I know a lot of people are talking about that, but we want to go back to hand counting them. Then we don't have the issues with the machine.
Okay. Now, you mentioned that Bismarck and Fargo were some of the areas that were affected. So this isn't something that's just happening in what people might consider rural North Dakota. This is happening in some of the bigger cities in North Dakota as well.
Yes, it is.
Absolutely. Okay, so one of the things we'll start with that you said is just getting rid of the electronic system altogether. And so that what that is it's we have paper ballots, we sit down, we fill those out, and then once we're done, we go over to something that looks like an ATM and we slide in our paper ballot, and then the electronic component there counts our ballots, correct?
That's what it's supposed to do, yes.
That's
tabulate
what our
it, yeah.
Current process is. It's tabulated through that. And basically you're saying the biggest deal that's going to change with this through this proposed amendment would be we get rid of the tabulator.
Yes, and it would go back to hand counting by people. And we've already started training people on how to hand count these ballots.
So
it's we're planning ahead.
Right. So if it was to pass on the next ballot, this is something that where you guys are trying to have infrastructure in place where it can go into effect immediately.
Yeah. If it passes in June, it actually is retroactive, so it would go in effect June 1st, which was before we had the June election.
Wow. So how?
So then it would be ready for November.
Yeah, it'd be ready for November. Very good. Which will obviously be a big election in November.
Yes.
Very interesting. So what I want to do is just kind of walk through some of the points that are on this. So we talk about the getting rid of the electronic system, which is one of the big things that this amendment is doing. But another thing that I believe this amendment would have effect is on ranked choice voting. That would become prohibited. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Now, ranked choice voting, if someone was looking for an explanation, voters have the option to rank candidates in order of preference, first, second, third, so forth. So basically, it gets rid of runoff type elections. Where do you see this? Where did this come from? Why is this something that you guys wanted included on your amendment?
Because they're currently doing it in Fargo right now.
Okay.
And it ends up getting rid of the best candidate because they keep running it through over and over and over till the person with the most votes actually is the winner, which doesn't mean that first person who had the majority of votes.
Gotcha. Interesting. So it's something that is making basically what you're saying is some if the person with the most twos could necessarily or not the most twos, the person whose name is just mentioned most on ballots is winning, perhaps, rather than the person with the most ones are winning.
Yes. We want it to be like a normal ballot where you're just going through and you're picking your favorite and not just running it through continually.
Some things are just easy when you go back to the how it was intended to be.
Yeah.
It makes things a little bit easier, I'd say. Another thing that was interesting that stood out to us was the absentee ballots, the process on that, and the ability, from my understanding, not being able to turn in early ballots. There was no early voting. It had to be done the day of the election.
There's going to be no mail-in ballot, which are different than absentee, because absentee, you have to go in and request it. Mail-in ballots were just going out to people randomly. Mm-hmm. And then we always had election day, and right. We should be able to get all of our elections done in one day.
Yeah, that makes sense. So is there analytics or any records that you guys kind of based off some of these amendments as far as why getting rid of the early vote? I know I have early voted before, and I'm sure that that's something that a lot of people have. Is there any analytics that you guys looked at said that this would be something good to cut out because of the increased risk of fraud, or how did that come about?
Well, in the past, you've had presidents talking about the fact that with early voting, that's the easiest way to have a fraudulent election.
Right.
You know, I don't think our forefathers were planning on us taking a month to get a vote done.
Right.
We can go in one day. And I know there's people that are talking about the fact that it would be hard in like November when we could have snowstorms. But these are the same people that are complaining about that are making every effort they can to get to a football game that, you know, in another city. And our elections mean way more than that.
Absolutely. This is obviously going to lead to longer lines at the voting places. How do you see that affecting things in our current setup? Is it going to be an increase of voting areas that would be needed, or how do you see that being affected?
Well, they need to open up all of the polling places for the counties. Right now, my county is supposed to have 6 polling areas open, precincts, okay? They only have 3 of them open. But if you open up every county's precinct, there'll be many places for the people to go to vote, and the people that are supposed to vote in that precinct will show up at that precinct.
Very good. So just, it sounds like there's some things that you guys have seen that just is not being followed. Would that be correct?
Yes.
What are some of the key ones that you guys are really prioritized on your guys' amendment?
Well, one of the things is the fact that a lot of our county auditors, they're no longer elected positions.
Right.
And these are the people that are running our elections. They've been selected to go on those positions. And as far as I know, Fargo's auditor, for instance, she's not even an American citizen. She's a Canadian. So how can we have someone that is foreign running an election system over there?
Right. Very good. So there's also some things that this would affect after the election as well, correct? As far as the records being available to the public more. Currently, is this process not being followed from your guys' experience? What are you guys seeing there?
Well, it's really hard to get information at the current time when people have been FOIAing to get like the voter count. Mm-hmm. I think it's the cast vote tallies and stuff. You aren't able to get them. And we should be able to know how many people voted for sure in our elections in our county. Because, you know, we did a search too to find out when the last time our election system was audited in North Dakota. And the Secretary of State told a lady in our group that it has never been audited.
Wow. That's incredible. I hope the tax man takes that approach with me. You know, auditing is a good thing. It protects a lot of things and it keeps things in place. So that's not a safe thing right there. So some of the things, each paper ballot would be scanned electronically, including any rejected and corrected ballots. And they'd be preserved for 6 years on the Secretary of State's website. paper copy of the scan ballots from any election would be made available to individuals upon request. And there may be a payment of nominal fee that would be set by the office of the auditor. So these are just things to increase the transparency that you guys are not seeing happening currently.
Yes.
Very good. So we've talked about some of the things that would go in place, and we might jump back into it. We jumped right into the details, which is fun. But I want to kind of talk more about the background for a minute. We've seen what's going to happen if the proposed amendment goes forward. But why did you become passionate about this? I mean, you're the chairperson for this. So obviously, you're not just supporting it. You're helping make this happen. Why?
Yeah. I actually got to be a judge during the 2022 election. And I was seeing things that shouldn't be happening. For instance, in my county where we were at our precinct, we had an ES&S guy that showed up at our precinct. And at the end of the night, we were told to hand off our USB stick from the DS200 to him. This is a person that is not a North Dakotan. This person we did not know. And he's working for the system that these machines are being run on. Okay. And we were told by our auditor to hand off this information. That's our vote tally. That's our vote. And that's just completely wrong.
Right.
So that was one of the biggest things that got me going on this. So, to ask questions, what else is going on?
Right. So basically, presumably, you're thinking that you don't know exactly what happened to those votes.
Well, we handed off something to someone that we didn't know, and we were supposed to keep that. I mean, that was our job to take it over there. But our auditor told the clerk to hand it off to him, and he would take it over to the courthouse.
Right.
And that's questionable. Mm-hmm. Why would we have to do that when it's supposed to be there are votes, it's our job, we should have been able to perform our job like we were supposed to.
What do you say to the person that says, we're North Dakotans, it's not that big, we understand elections, they're safe enough in North Dakota? What do you say to that person?
It's our vote. And I know everybody says it's safe enough. Well, what is safe enough?
Mm-hmm.
If someone didn't get to vote, say they didn't have the chance to actually be one of the people that got to help with the election, or they didn't have the chance to know if their vote actually counted because there's no audit, I think that's a big thing, because that's our voice. That vote is what puts people into places of service for us. That puts our legislators in place. It puts our county commissioners in place. It's very important, because these are the people that we get to pick to actually be our voice to the state and our voice to the country. And I think even one problem is a big problem.
Absolutely. On the national stage, and perhaps in the local stage as well, you hear different parties say, things about potentially ones that have passed recently or even a while ago voting and stuff like that. Do you see that being eradicated by this amendment in North Dakota? And do you see that currently a problem in North Dakota from the stories that you've heard? I'm sure you've heard a lot of stories from people with concern over this as you've worked on this petition.
Well, we've had people that talked about the fact that because they had mail-in or mail-out ballot, that people that had passed away were getting ballot. Well, that shouldn't be happening.
Right.
Or people that were too young to vote were getting ballot. People that don't live in the state anymore that had never voted in North Dakota are getting ballot. So there's a problem. They right. just don't want to address it. And we want to address that problem with this petition that's going around, giving people a chance to get it on the ballot.
Right, for sure. So as far as like the, and obviously we're talking about mail-out ballots specifically. So if you're passed, you're not going to be able to go in person to vote. So that would solve that. If you're out of state, you're probably not going to travel to two states. But there's also some identification that's going to be necessary. What is your guys' desired outcome from that? I know in the amendment it said that identification would be required with every person that would show up to vote, correct?
Yeah, it's supposed to be that way right now too.
Yeah.
And I know they're saying that it's going to be impossible for us to identify the people, but we have precinct-specific poll book.
Okay.
So the people that are supposed to be voting in that precinct, when they come in, they'll have their identification. If they don't match up to that precinct, they'll get sent to the precinct where they're supposed to be voting.
Okay. How much do you see that being a problem right now with the identification process not being followed? Have you heard a lot of feedback of it not being followed? Any stories from people that have reached out to you?
I haven't had any personal experience, but I know other people have said that they've heard from, especially out on the eastern side of our state, where people were able to walk in without any identification at all and vote. They weren't even being asked if they were American citizens to vote.
Yeah, that's interesting for sure. So basically, what's the process that's going on now? I know that you guys have obviously taken some big steps, but where are you guys at on the process of getting this amendment on the ballot?
We are still collecting signatures. We've only been at it for about a month now. And so we're going to events around the state to gather signatures. We will be set up at the Gateway Mall in Bismarck starting November 1st. So that's Wednesday already. And we'll be there to collect signatures until February 1st. So we're working at this as hard as we can because we've got a very short deadline to make it to June. And we plan to be on that June ballot. We're not going for November. We're going for the June ballot.
When's the deadline that you have to submit those signatures by?
By February 12th. And we want them in at least 2 weeks early.
Right. What's your goal signature? I know that there's the mandatory required by the Secretary of State, but typically you shoot over that. What's your guys' goal signature?
40,000.
40,000 signatures. Very good. Do you think you'll make it? Obviously you do.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I do.
Is this something that you're finding a lot of people, are you having to convince people to do this, or are you finding a lot of people have concern with this already?
Well, a lot of people have concerns, and I was out in front of the DOT last week on Monday, and I had one guy walk up to me, and he said, give me one good reason why I should sign this petition to go on the ballot. And I said, well, we haven't had any audit of our election system in North Dakota since conception of the state. And he said, that's a great reason. I can't even run a business without having an audit occasionally to make sure everything's running properly.
Right.
So there's a lot of people that are seeing problems and they want the chance to fix it. And even if they don't, there's been some people say, oh, our elections are perfect the way they are, but I'll sign it to give the chance to have that on our ballot for other people to have the choice.
Yeah.
So we appreciate that.
Absolutely. This is something that they cannot sign online, correct?
No, they can't. You have to sign in person. So right. The person that is carrying the petition has to be there while they're writing their signature down as well.
So if someone's interested in signing the petition, how do they go about doing that?
They can get a hold of us at the Election Integrity Act website. So it's electionintegrityact.com. And they can do a contact us and we'll let them know who is carrying in their county. Or they can go to like the Gateway Mall. If a lot of people go to Bismarck for shopping this time of the year anyway, and they'll be able to find us at the Gateway Mall. We'll be right inside the doors by Rocking 50s Cafe. And they can come in there and sign our petitions that'll be setting up there from 2 to 6 every day from November 1st till February 1st.
Fantastic. Well, it sounds like you guys are done a lot of research on this, done a lot of work on this, and we'll see how it continues. I'm excited for you guys. Hope it goes well. Any concern? I think even the audit thing that you mentioned is something that I wanted to talk about a little bit further. It was my first reaction as well. I mean, every year as a business owner, you file taxes and you're concerned, is this a year that I get audited? Because it's almost inevitable. It's going to happen one of these years. My brother's an accountant and he always jokes around about every year that he's thankful that now that's 1 year that they can't audit. So we're used to the factor of being audited in different areas of our life. Other than the transparency that happens on the Secretary of State's website, what procedures are you guys trying to propose in the amendment that would affect the auditing of the elections?
Well, the fact that there'll be paper ballots that are available for a longer period of time, for one thing. Right now, with a presidential election, I believe it's just 22 months. And this, we've set it for 6 years that they can get to these ballots. And that means that the Secretary of State's office actually is going to have to start making digital paperwork available. Right now, you can't go in to their website and find information that's even digital that's supposed to be, you know, available to the public. So this is really going to have to make the Secretary of State step up and get done what's supposed to be done. That's in the Century Code already that says it's supposed to be available to people.
In that audit, what is shown, is it the total number of votes in each county and in precinct in each polling location?
It will be broke down to precincts and stuff.
Okay.
So it'll be easier to find the information in each county.
But it won't go as far as to show individuals.
No name. It won't say anybody's name. It won't have personal information.
Right.
Because that's someone's personal vote. That's sacred to them.
Right.
And absolutely, we're not going to be messing with that. We just want to know how many people voted in the county.
Yep.
And how many voted in each precinct so that we can match it up with the amount of people that should only be in that precinct. That way we can tell if there's more people voting than should be voting. It gives us an idea of what's going on.
Absolutely. So we're coming to a close here, but I want to ask basically one final question. In this proposed amendment, what are your top three favorite things that would be changed?
Going back to hand counting the ballots, getting our auditors back in as elected positions and not selected to be in there, and one day voting, getting it done in one day instead of spreading it out over the time.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much for joining us today, Lydia. It's been great conversation learning more about it. If you, our viewers, have questions about this, you can go to electionintegrityact.com and learn more about what their goal is. You can also submit that contact form if you want to reach out to them to be a part or to ask any questions. Thank you for watching this episode of The Conversation here at The Dakotan and brought to you by Shock, Safe, and Lock. I'm Jonathan Starr, and we hope that you stop by The Dakotan YouTube page, subscribe to us, follow us on Facebook, stay in tune for some of the great content that we have coming your way. Thank you, and have a great day.